The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry the Cable Guy, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeird.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
Good to have you back, Justin. You were out last week.
Yeah, I had some things going on.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you back. We held down the fort, and we talked about all the cool stuff and about my trying to acquire a graphics card for the final piece of my build.
Yeah, good luck with that.
So you know what? Okay, so at the end of the show last week, Sean, you remember this, I got onto Micro Center, which is a store that is in, well, they have different locations, but they have one in my old hometown of Orange County. It's near Huntington Beach. And that's where, you know, my son lives out there, right? So I get on there and they've got a 3060 for $415. That's a graphics card.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good graphics card. And if you go online right now, 3060s, you're going to find them anywhere from $900 to about $2,300, depending on which one you get.
Yep.
And it was $415.
That's retail. I mean, that's retail.
Yeah,
that's what they're supposed to be.
That's what they're supposed to be. And Sean, you even said that is a great deal. So
yeah, it's a great deal. And did your son end up picking it up for you?
I reached out to my son. I said, could you do me a favor? And he's like, yeah, sure, Dad. You know, I'll get out of work a little early and I'll go on over there. And so I said, okay, cool. I'm going to Venmo you the money. So I send him the money, right? I send him $500. I'm excited because I'm going to get this final piece to build the computer I wanted to build.
And you're still not going to play any games?
I probably would. I probably would start playing.
You would. Oh,
well, you know,
okay.
I figured I'd have enough power to do it. So he gets in. So I go online to Micro Center, and you can't call the stores. That's the thing. With Micro Center, you can't call them. You can only chat. And I chat with this person, and they said, well, each store is, you know, different. And so I realized this guy's not even in a Micro Center. He's at a call center.
Yeah.
And I said, well, is there any way you could check inventory? Because I'm going to send my son over there. I was thinking about hopping in the car, driving 8 hours to pick it up. That's how bad I want this thing, right? So my son Dominic goes, you know, he's on his way there. And the guy in the chat says, yes, I'm showing we have inventory at that store. And I'm like, oh, the gods are smiling upon me. So I'm excited. I get a FaceTime from my son, and he's, you know, he's in the store, and he says, Dad, and I'm like, yeah. And he's already got the money. I've sent him the money, and he turns the camera on. It's a sales guy. And he says, I'm so sorry, but that was a return that came in, and it's not in our actual inventory. It got added in wrong. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And he says, no. I go, when you get any more in? He goes, we don't know. And then I said, can you check another store? Nobody has them. He says, they'll get them periodically. And I was like, I said, well, what else would you recommend? He says, well, we got a Radeon 6600. And I was thinking, I've got Radeon and a couple other machines. He says, it's about $899. And I'm thinking, huh? So I said, no, that's okay. So, you know, my son sent me back the money. I did spiff him a few bucks for gas and for traveling, getting out of work early. And I was just so depressed.
Yeah.
And then I start again. I go back.
Start calling me.
Well, I called Justin because it showed that they had one in Denver. And I'm thinking, all right. Yeah.
He calls me up. He's like, hey, man, what's up? I'm like, oh, God, what do you need now? Like, you never call me for any reason, except when you want something. You're right, like, hey, what's up? I'm like, oh, great. What does he want now?
I'd be like, how far away are you from Micro Center?
Yeah, I knew immediately. I was like, no, I'm not going.
So I said, well, I sent him a screenshot. And he goes, hey, if I could get it for that, I'm getting one for me. And if there's only one left, you're screwed. So, and it turns out, no, they didn't. The next day I looked in inventory, they didn't have any.
Yeah, no, it's just ridiculous. I guarantee you, there is probably a good couple thousand of those units between the 3060s, 3070s, and 3080s, and probably even the 3090s, sitting off the coast of Los Angeles on a cargo ship.
Oh, I never even thought about that.
They probably are.
Yeah.
Because of that huge backlog we have of shipping right now, there's probably a good couple thousand units just sitting off the coast of Los Angeles.
Well, NVIDIA released a statement this week. And in the statement, they said that they realized that there's been a, you know, a shortage. And they are ramping up. And they're saying that by mid-2022. They said by 2022 that they should have enough to cover just how short it's been. And but they're not going to release any of these GPUs until they have enough in stock so that they can go out. And that way we're not going to see this basically greed factor going online and the bots buying them up.
The bots are going to keep doing it, man. The bots are going to get more and more powerful. They're going to control the market until these companies can come up, or actually not even the companies, really, not NVIDIA. I'm not going to put this on them. Mm-hmm. Until the retailers themselves come up with a method to protect bots or protect people from bots buying up all the inventory within seconds. I mean, I'm literally talking, these bots can buy 100 units in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Because they're using multiple names, multiple addresses, multiple credit card numbers, and they're buying up all the units. Until they figure out how to do this and how to protect people against that, from that, we're going to keep seeing the bots buy up the whole entire market.
Even Micro Center, I noticed that, and you basically, I mean, for what I was looking at, you can't buy them online. You have to be in the store. And even Micro Center had a note, limit 19.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking for the cards that they do have, and they have cards that are pricey. They're closer to manufacturers' suggested retail, which is good. So I get back on Amazon and I start looking again, because really the problem is Mercari and eBay, you could get a card that was used for mining that's going to be worn out. Mm-hmm. You get a card with all kinds of issues. The serial number is going to have issues. So I'm not saying you don't want to do that, but generally you're going to find that same thing, the price gouging on that.
Yeah.
So I get back to Amazon and I'm looking, and even on Amazon, it's ridiculous. You've got a card. I saw a card today, a 3090, that was going for $3,900.
Yeah.
Why would somebody buy that for $3,900?
Exactly.
And I don't get it.
The retail on that was I think $1,100.
Yeah. So I'm going back and forth. I drop stuff in my cart and then I look. And so my options right now have been the 1050 Ti. And I'm kind of not.
1050 Ti?
1050 Ti.
Oh my gosh.
But, and I really can't look at the Radeon line. So I'm sticking with
just
NVIDIA.
Wait till the 4000 series. Well, the 4000 series is supposed to be.
That's my problem. I don't want to wait. I want to finish this build because I want to start doing Wirecast with us, and it's going to be able to do a bunch of things.
Don't buy a 1050. I mean,
well,
that's,
hold on now. So I'm looking at the 1050s and they're $430 even on Amazon. The next up was the 1650 from Zotac, and I had a Zotac card before and it failed. So I'm like kind of leery about that. The clock cycles on the Zotac, even though it's a 1650, well, they're a lot lower than the Asus 1050 Ti. So I was going to get it. It was in my thing, but I wasn't going to get it till the 21st of this month. So I jump online and I said, well, let's see what SWS has. Last time I was in there, they had two cards. They had the 730 and they had a Radeon card. And I jumped on Friday, and on their price list was the 4 gigabit Asus 1050 Ti. Good clock cycles, the whole bit. But the pricing, only $230.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to bite the bullet here, get this card now so I can finish this build. And when we have more cards in the market, then I'll go ahead and I'll move this down into the other system, which I found is a 1030 Ti with two gigabytes. So I'll just move that. I'll move them around is what do. So I ended up picking it up this morning. Again, 2:30 out the door. I didn't have to wait. I spent less than I would have in Amazon, and it was all shopping local. And here is a retailer, and he gets the 3080s. Don't get me wrong. He gets the 3080s, 3060s, and he's putting them in builds. And
the best way to get them right now.
It really is. And they even had an Omen that was for sale it was $1,699, an HP Omen that they pretty much put together. It had a 3060 in it, but I didn't want to have all that extra hardware. So I ended up buying it. He stuck to the price the manufacturer suggested, which I think might be a little cheaper, but he's got to make some money. But shopping local paid off in this case.
That's so awesome.
I just wish, I'll be honest with you, I still wish we had Fry's and CompUSA because then we wouldn't be seeing, I think, what we're seeing now.
Yeah, that's true. It's limited. To a certain extent, absolutely.
It's limited. Well, now, last week we talked a lot about Wyze. We had a listener that asked us about a Wyze cam, like what would be good. And Sean and you, Justin, have been kind of playing around with some stuff I didn't even know existed. Sean did a shot on his Wyze cam, and I thought, wait, where did that come from? Mm-hmm. So tell us how you did this.
So there's two ways you can do it, and Justin brought this one up earlier because I had forgotten about it. They announced a firmware for the version 2 and up. So the version 2, the version 3, the pan tilt zooms. But it's the RTSP streaming. It's a firmware that allows you to, over your local network, do an RTSP stream. So it's a firmware you add, much like, you know, we talked about this before where I did the webcam firmware where it turned it into a USB webcam. It turned out okay, but you lost control of it through the Wyze app. You don't lose control of the camera through the Wyze app with this firmware update. So I can still go in. I can still see events. I can still schedule automations. I can still do all that stuff. I still have full control of it through the app. But what I can do is then on a RTSP compliant, you know, software, VLC, OBS, any of those, I can pull in that live web stream. So for those of you watching, I can click this and you guys can see. As soon as it pops up, because it's black, because I clicked the wrong button.
Nice going there.
I put one in the back of my room so you can see a wide shot of my office.
That is so cool.
It's delayed by about 15 to 20 seconds, but it's, you know, for what it is, it's worth it. But Justin mentioned they also, for Cam Plus subscribers.
They just released this today. You can actually do the web view. Now, I mean, Sean, you've been a Wyze camera user since, you know, the first days of Wyze.
Justin,
right?
you missed his shirt last week.
Oh, what? Was he wearing a Wyze shirt?
He's got a new Wyze shirt to go with his socks.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh my gosh, bro, you're taking it too far. No. So Wyze Cam, people have been asking for this since day one. Is the ability to view your cameras from a web browser, because right now, currently, all you can do is view them from the app.
Yeah.
So you're limited to your phone, or in some cases, you can use your tablet. But still, I mean, you're talking about a tiny, small screen on your phone compared to like a big monitor on your, you know, whatever, your computer. So if they finally released the beta version of the web view. Now, the problem is they're using Amazon Web Services, and being that Wyze is still technically kind of a small company, they don't have the money to pay Amazon to host a massive server farm to allow all of their customers to use the webcam view. So what they're doing right now is they're limiting it to Cam Plus subscribers only.
Right.
Which is the cloud recording. So your camera will automatically record to the cloud. You don't need an SD card in your camera. It'll record to the cloud and you can play it back at any time. So I thought, okay, that's great. I'm going to do this because I have three cameras that are Cam Plus. So I go on to the beta website for the Cam Plus, and it says I have no cameras available. I'm like, wait, what? So I go to the Wyze app, and it says I have three cameras on Wyze Cam Plus.
Yeah.
So I can't figure out why it's not showing up with my cameras. So I contact Wyze support. I talk to the guy on the phone. He says, oh, are you using Android by chance? I said, yes, I am. He goes, did you purchase your subscription to Cam Plus through the app? I said, yeah, of course I did. Because that's
the only way to do it, I thought.
That's the only way you do it. He's like, well, actually, no. You're supposed to purchase it through the website. Because if you purchase it through the app, it's technically a transaction between Wyze and Google. Ooh. Not between Wyze and you. You're paying Google. Google pays Wyze. Therefore, your licenses belong to Google.
Oh, that's outrageous.
So the only way to get out of that is to cancel the Google subscription and then buy the subscription directly from Wyze.com. So now I'm kind of in a between a rock and a hard place because I've got until late March of 2022 before my Google subscription runs out because I paid 3 cameras 1 year.
Oh boy.
So now
you can't get a refund on that?
I'm trying. They did say you can request a refund from Google and you tell them that, hey, I wanted to buy this from Wyze. I didn't know that you had to buy it for, you know, that you could do that. And blah. And sometimes Google is bending over and saying, okay, fine. We'll go ahead and let you, you know, take back the portion of your unused account.
Yeah.
Other times they're saying no refunds.
Oh,
so
man.
I'm waiting and praying to the gods that Google will bend, you know, bow down and say, all right, fine. You will give you $15 back per camera or whatever.
Yeah, that could be pricey.
Yeah, no, it is. But I will be subscribing to the Cam Plus from the Wyze website. So that's the moral of the story. If you have a Wyze camera and you want Cam Plus, buy it directly from Wyze themselves. Do not buy it from Apple or Google. Or basically, just don't buy it
through
the app.
Yeah.
Don't buy it through the app.
Did we find out what Cam Plus Pro is? Because I know, Sean, you were going to look into that and see.
They haven't really released any more details. I would have to look. I know they announced it's coming, but they didn't have any details still.
Well, one of the things I really
like. What do you speculate?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it's going to be part of the home monitoring system, or you're going to be able to hook up sensors and things like that to the cameras and not have to do the home, like the way they do their home monitoring. I don't subscribe to that, but you could buy the base station and you can get sensors and you can do all that stuff. But people want to be able to hook up and have more control over what their cameras can do in terms of if it detects motion or if it detects this, you can then trigger it to do certain things, adding more rules and stuff. So I think it's just going to be an expansion on how long you can record, a new form of cloud storage, and maybe support for the newer cameras. I don't know.
You know, I like the fact that, you know, you could be sitting there at your desktop and have a monitor that is just got your security cameras. So if you're working, like you're working in a basement or you're working, you know, at the other end of the house, you can just look up and see with this web interface and be able to see if somebody's at your door.
Yeah.
You know, and do it that way. The one thing about Ring that always blew me away was the fact that there was such a delay that you get a notification, look up and you go to the
person's
door.
Gone.
They've been gone for like a half hour. Well, not a half hour, but felt 5 minutes. And I do like though, and I hope Wyze does this, what Nest does. Nest is pretty good. I'm very, very pleased with that. Pricey, but good. And my subscription allows me to have it on my smartphone. I can pull it up on the website, but I also can integrate it into my Amazon Show. So my Echo Show device. So with the screen in the bedroom, if I don't want to get up out of bed, don't want to grab my phone, I could just tell Alexa to show me, you know, that camera and it will pop up on the Echo Show device.
Yep. Yep.
So I do like that. And I hope Wyze does that kind of interface because that would be great. I mean, again, you get a lot of value out of that for those cameras.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing. And I honestly do love Wyze. I mean,
but you haven't bought the socks yet.
I haven't bought the socks. I haven't bought the shirt. I'm not that much of a fanboy like Sean is.
Now, Sean, if they had boxers, would you?
Oh, of course he would. Come on.
Of course I would.
Sean is like two steps away from getting a Wyze tattoo.
Yes.
He's going to get Wyze tattooed across his forehead.
Oh, man.
No,
like
I'm
Post
not.
Malone.
I tell you, you know, it's a shame because I have not run into a PR department for them. I haven't been able to find one. Matter of fact, I will tell you guys, it used to be very easy to reach out to PR departments. And we've worked with some of the great companies over the years. Everybody from Corsair to Cooler Master to Razer. I mean, we had the CEO of Razer in our studio. Motorola. They don't have PR departments anymore.
What?
You cannot find a PR department. There are some companies that probably still have some.
Okay.
But like for Cooler Master. Cooler Master, we have always been able to work with them. You can't even find them on their website.
Really?
You can't even find a PR department anymore.
Hmm.
I have sent emails to them because we wanted to feature one of their newest cases on one of our segments for TV. Nothing back. Two emails, nothing back. You know, so we went with Corsair. You know, and it's the same thing goes with, and I don't know, NVIDIA, we've had, you know, we've had some of the big wigs from NVIDIA, you know, from Diamond when they were on Apple. It's very difficult to reach as well. We used to have a great relationship with Apple. Very hard. And I don't know if it's the influx of podcasters that are, you know, starting up going, hey, we want to look at this and we want to look at that. You know, for broadcasters, it makes it difficult. But it's been a chore. I mean, Logitech is great. They've got people. But I still go through a third-party company to do stuff with them.
Yep, true.
So, yeah, it's really difficult. So I don't know if Wyze has a PR department or somebody, but I went on their website. It was real difficult to find anybody. I'd love to just let them know, hey, you know, we got a guy on the show that loves Wyze.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, you could always try to look up this CEO of Wyze and try to blast an email.
You
know what?
I was going to ask you about that. There is a website for people who want to reach a company like CEO or Grand Poobah that I know that, and you've mentioned it before, and I think we used to have it on our website so that people, you know, when they have a statement or they have a complaint or they have a comment, that they know at least it may get to the Grand Poobah himself. And you actually had this work for you in Denver.
I did. Yeah, I'll tell the story again. I want to say it's, let me think here. It's definitely email. It's funny. If I type in email the boss.
Right. And wants to send an email to your boss.
No. If I say email the boss in Google.
Yeah.
Tech Talk Radio is the second link.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Because we've talked about it.
We've talked about it. Yeah. But yeah. So it's emailtheboss.org, I want to say.
Right.
Let me see here. Emailtheboss.org.
And for those of you following along at home.
Yep. There it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Emailtheboss.org. You can go to these websites and you can look up a CEO or a company name and it will give you their CEO's contact information, except they won't actually allow you to, like, they don't give you the actual email address. What they do is they allow you to fill out your information and your email, and then they will send it on your behalf. Now, this was years and years ago. I first moved into Denver. I had CenturyLink internet. And I was having problems with it. I couldn't connect to Blizzard, which is the parent company of like World of Warcraft and StarCraft and Diablo and all those other games. I couldn't connect to Blizzard. It would just error out. And I did trace routes. I did all kinds of things. I contacted support from CenturyLink so many times, and they kept saying, well, it's your problem. It's your problem. It's not us. And I'm like, guys, I can prove it to you. I'm a network engineer. It's not my problem. It's beyond my router. It's in your network. They would not help me. So finally, I sent a good email to Glenn Post, the CEO of CenturyLink, from emailtheboss.org. I didn't think anything was going to happen out of it. Honestly, I wasn't being mean. I wasn't being angry. I was being cordial and professional with the whole email.
Right.
I sent it off. 72 hours later, give or take, I got an email from, or actually I got a phone call from a guy named Brian who works for the office of the president of CenturyLink.
Now that's cool.
And he says, you are now in contact with level 4 support. This is the highest level of support. We don't give this out to everybody. And as a matter of fact, from now on, as long as you're a customer of CenturyLink, I am your personal tech support.
Wow.
Whenever you have problems, you call me directly, and here's my cell phone. And I said, okay, let me ask you, though. Did my email actually get to the CEO? He goes, oh, yeah, it did. And it got down to the rest of the C-level, which then passed it on to the senior managers, which then passed it on to the regional managers, which then passed it on to me.
That's awesome.
And said, and the CEO himself said, take care of this guy at all costs.
That is great. That is great.
So it works. Emailtheboss.org.
Here's the thing, too. All right, so you reach the boss, right? The boss, you know, their office responds. Isn't that good customer service? Because aren't you always going to always say, you know what, I'm always going to deal with them.
Yeah.
I've had a good experience.
If the CEO of a company responds back to me and is willing to work with me on something, then obviously I'm going to give them their business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my business, excuse me. I'm going to give them my business.
Right.
But the thing is, I fear that people are going to use this website to just go and complain about whatever and not offer any true solutions. Like, again, I was very professional with my email. I said, here are my problems. Here are the things that I've tried. Here's what I need you guys as a company to do for me. Instead of just going, CenturyLink is a piece of crap company, blah, blah, blah. No, I presented a problem and a potential solution. That's why I feel I got contacted back. So if you're going to go do this, be professional about it.
There you go. I like that. Great advice. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. You got something this week you want to tell us about.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So we're going to have you do that when we come back. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So this last week, I purchased a couple things. One of them being, I can't believe this. I cannot believe the deal that I got on
really?
This. But I happened to be on our neighborhood Facebook page. And there was a neighbor who posted a 27-inch Asus, which obviously is a good brand, 27-inch 1440p monitor.
Wow.
Now, so you got 1080p, which is the standard kind of for most monitors. Then you got 1440, which is kind of quote unquote called 2K.
Yeah.
And then you've got the 4K, which is obviously the high end. 1080 is 1920 by 1080. That's 1080. 2K, I can tell you right now because I got my menu. Hold on.
All right.
My menu is 2560 by 1440.
Oh, wow.
That's what 2K is.
Right.
Anyway, they posted this monitor for sale on our neighborhood Facebook page for $30.
All right, what's wrong with it? 30 bucks?
Well, I immediately commented and said, I'll take it. It's mine. I'll take it. I Venmo'd them the money right away just because I don't want anybody else to grab it.
Did you know that these people that live in the neighborhood? I mean, you know where it's at?
I don't know them.
Oh, wow.
But they're in the neighborhood. So they said, okay, all right, we got your money. Here's our address. Come on by. So that morning I grabbed it first thing in the morning. I was like, what's wrong with it? And they're like, no, it works. We just upgraded to 4K monitors and I don't have any use for it anymore. And I'm like, okay. And I just grabbed
You're
it.
You're kidding
me. I'm thinking you could have told me you would sell this for $150 and I would have bought it.
Yeah.
For $30. I was like Dave Chappelle when he's like dressed as the drug addict. He's like, y'all got any more of them 1440s in there? You know, like I was literally asking. I was like looking in there. I was kind of looking in their house. I'm like, y'all got any more of those 1440s?
Yeah,
because I'll take some more for $30 each. But anyway, I got home. I hooked it up.
Were you thinking it wasn't going to work?
Like, I figured it would, but I thought maybe it was going to be some dead pixels or something like that for $30. No, man. This thing is solid. It works beautifully. I hooked it up. I replaced my 2012 BenQ 1080p monitor. Now, the only downside of this monitor, and it's really not much of a downside, the only downside is it's only a 75 hertz refresh versus my BenQ, which is 120 hertz. Now, let me explain.
Yeah, can you talk about what the difference is in that?
Yeah, so refresh, obviously, the faster the refresh, the more... Sean, what's the word I'm looking for? The more crisp? No, not really.
The, the more smooth things.
Smooth.
Look. So smooth. It's essentially the faster the refresh rate, the faster the pixels can be changed.
Refreshed.
Is that why like sometimes you'll see blurring happening when you're watching something, a lot of action?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously a higher refresh rate is great, better.
Yeah. All right. So your typical standards are 60, 120, and then 144.
Well, there's a couple out there. Yeah, the standards. Yeah, there's a couple like 240 refresh, but those are kind of hard to find. As a matter of fact, I actually have a pre-order for a monitor since 2019 that I've been waiting for called Spectrum by a company called Eve, and they're making a 1440. They also make a 4K model of this, but I only got the 1440, but it's 1440 at 240 hertz refresh.
Oh, wow.
But I'm still waiting on it. And now, at this point, I don't even know if I want it.
Well, yeah.
Because I'm happy with this. This
you saved yourself some money.
Oh, I saved myself about $500. Because that Spectrum was going to be about $500.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that was the first thing I bought.
All right.
The second thing I bought, and I did not discuss this on pre-show
guys. Of you listening, they have no idea what I'm about to tell them. But you all know that I do love this Farming Simulator 22. I've been playing a lot of Farming Simulator 22.
Yeah. Is the full title 2022 or just 22?
Just 22.
All right, good.
Yeah. So Farming Simulator 22. The thing is I want more realism with it. And there's only...
Wait a minute. You didn't go out and buy a tractor, did you?
Well, no, not a full tractor. What I bought was... Hold on, let me...
No, you've got to be kidding me.
What I got was...
You did not.
Hold on.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
The Thrustmaster T248 steering wheel / pedal kit, which is designed for the PlayStation 5. It actually is the PlayStation model because that's all they make on this one. So you're going to have all the PlayStation buttons. However, this unit, I don't know if you can see that price tag.
Yeah, $399. Oh,
$399.
Wow.
For this. Now, I got it because everybody's talking about how much better this Farming Simulator is when you have an actual steering wheel and you can drive your tractors and your trucks just the same way as you would in real life.
Yeah.
I'm calling BS on that. I'm sorry, but it is so much more difficult to drive a tractor. Okay, first off, let me do a caveat here. When I'm usually playing this game, I'm probably 2 or 3 beers deep.
All right.
So there's that. But it is so much more difficult to drive with a steering wheel and the pedals. First off, the pedals aren't even in a natural position.
No, they aren't.
They're not. So like my legs are hurting after like a half an hour because I have to engage all the muscles in my legs just to keep my feet in the proper position to press the pedals. Not necessarily pressing the pedals, just to keep them in the proper position.
Now, wait a minute. Now, a good tractor has a shifter in it.
No, I'm using the paddle shifters.
You are,
and,
okay.
And honestly, the paddle shifters, hold on.
All right. He's getting this for us. You can see
the actual unit right here.
All right.
Now, it's hard because I do have this connected to my computer, so I really can't bring it up high for the camera to see. But there are paddle shifters on here. Now, the thing is this is brand new to Thrustmaster, is a magnetic switch on the paddle shifter. So it's not like a mechanical switch, it's a magnetic switch. Here's the problem. This is me right now. I'm gonna do this. This is me shifting.
Yeah. Oh.
That's the quiet mode. That's the quiet mode.
Right.
That's how loud they are when you're trying to shift.
Now, I will tell you, I have seen that model in a Best Buy. They had it set up. And one of the things I thought was so cool about it, and I actually thought this is really neat. I mean, we've talked about yokes, you know, for airplanes.
Sure.
And control sticks and rudders.
I have all that, yep.
And we've talked about that. And, I mean, I have an old steering wheel from about, I want to say 8 years ago, from Finantech, I think is what the company is that put it out. But one thing I loved about that one you got, that Thrustmaster, is the force feedback on it.
Well, okay, so let me talk about that.
Yeah.
So, yes, this thing has force feedback, and it's only supported by a handful of games, none of which I own. So,
for Farming Simulator, you don't, like, when you're going over the dirt and all that?
No,
that would be awesome.
Now, here's the thing, they say, and even in the menu, there's a force feedback section that tells you, like, a slider, how strong do you want the force feedback? So I thought, great, this is going to support it. No. Giant Software, the maker of Farming Simulator 22, has said that they will support force feedback, but they did not give a timeline. There's no idea when it might happen or if it will happen. So right now, there is no force feedback. The only feedback you get is when you turn the wheel hard, like let's say 90 degrees, it will eventually come back to center on its own. And that technically is force feedback. Because as the tractor, you're driving the tractor as it goes, it will eventually come back to center. So that's what the wheel does. Now, to me, that's not force feedback. That's not worth $400 of force feedback. Okay. Here's the thing I did. I downloaded a racing sim.
Which one? F1?
iRacing.
iRacing. Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy is right. This is touted as the most legitimate, authentic, realistic racing simulator known to man right now.
Mm-hmm.
It supports the force feedback.
Yeah.
Oh, God, does it support the force feedback. I downloaded it, and I actually, they had a deal on their membership, because iRacing is not free. Yeah. You have to pay for a monthly membership. It's usually $5 or $6 a month. However, I was able to get 3 months for like $12 or something. Yeah. It was like, I was like, all right, fine. I'll just get the 3 month subscription for $12. No big deal. I go in, I find out, first off, you only get like a handful of cars, and every other car you want to buy is $12. Every other track you want to buy is $15.
Ooh.
So that's how they make their money.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm like, okay, fine. Let me just jump in a random car that I own. I think it was like a VW Beetle, and I'll race on this dirt track. Yeah, big mistake. I joined an actual race, and I hit the wall, and my steering wheel went bam right into the corner. I felt like, literally, when your wheel hits, it's okay. If you're watching like a NASCAR event or an F1 and they're about to get in an accident, they let go of their steering wheel, right?
Yeah.
Right? Because they know the steering wheel can rip your hands off. Yeah, this thing almost ripped my hands off. That force feedback scared the living crud out of me.
Oh, man.
And it really, I mean, okay, so first off, I got to give credit to Thrustmaster, because their direct gear drive system on this thing is bar none the best force feedback ever known to man. I mean, this thing is amazing. But it's worth $400 for me? I don't think so. And go to your point earlier in the show, you mentioned shopping local.
Yeah.
I went to a GameStop to buy this.
Hmm.
A local GameStop.
Yeah.
And because I could not find it online. Every other online was not having it. I walked into the very first GameStop I saw, and I said, do you guys have the Thrustmaster T248? And his smile behind the counter lit up, and he was like, we got one more. And he pointed to it, and I said, I'll take it.
You're just like, I got to have it. Yeah.
I got to have it. I'll take it. And my wife was like, wait, what?
Oh, man.
And I'm like, No. Don't worry. I'll pay for this my own fund money. You know, whatever. Yeah. I'm going to have to take a short-term loan out with it, but I will pay this back. And my wife was like, not happy with it. My son immediately was like, oh, my gosh, steering wheel. You know. But anyway, so the guy was like, I felt so bad, because the guy was like, you know what? You're the biggest purchase we've had in the past week.
Oh, man. Shopping local.
Yep. And now I'm about to go take it back.
I was going to ask, are you, after giving it a try and trying it out, were you like,
it's not worth $400 for me, man.
No.
If it supported more games, if Farming Simulator supported the force feedback on it, I think I would keep it. But I'm going to give it like another week. I'm going to give it one more week, and I'm going to play with it.
Right.
If I can get into the point where I'm actually comfortable driving around in Farming Simulator, and if I'm actually decent enough to race in iRacing without hitting the wall every 10 seconds, then maybe I'll keep it. But honestly, $400. I mean, this is already overpriced. The Logitech G923 is $299.
Yeah. Right. Even their flight controls are not that expensive.
Yeah, no,
you know, for flying,
it's the price of all the things going up because of the short supply.
Right.
So everything's going up, and it's not worth $400.
Well,
if this was $300, I'd say, you know what, I'll keep it.
Even when I saw it about 3 months ago, I think it was right around $375, $380. So it hasn't gone up that much.
Well, actually, I'll be honest.
Price at Best Buy.
I got it for $375 at GameStop. Is listed at $399. I got it for $375 plus tax. It was like $412.
Right. All right. We got to take a break. Special guest standing by to talk about holiday tech gift ideas and a big security notice this week. Some people don't understand what it means and who can it affect. If you have kids that are on Minecraft, you definitely want to tune in. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio. Tweet us at Tech Talk Radio.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Very excited at all the great tech ideas that we get around the holidays. I mean, honestly, for us, tech junkies, we love it because we see new stuff. We see stuff that we've wanted to get our hands on. And I'll tell you, there are so many great options out there. Now, one of those that can help weed out you know, what some of the great products are that you want to take a look at is Andrea Smith. Now, Andrea is an award-winning news and technology journalist. We've seen her on ABC News, Good Morning America, many other shows. She's got great websites, great Twitter feed as well. Andrea, it's great to talk to you.
Oh, good to talk to you, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Now, I got to ask you, do you like this time of the year? Are you like me? I kind of, you know, geek out a bit at some of this cool stuff.
Well, I geek out at this cool stuff all year long.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I constantly love it, and I love the evolving technology. But yeah, this time of year is nice. I like to be able to help make recommendations, and there's so much out there.
There really is, and it can be difficult to figure out, you know, what we're going to get for somebody, especially if they're already a techie and we want to give them a tech gift. What are some of your, like, favorite tech gift ideas for this year?
Well, right now for the holidays, I'm really all about tablets and laptops because there's some amazing devices out there. And, you know, a lot of people have been sharing these devices with family while people are working from home or going to school from home. And they may just need an upgrade. So two that I really like, the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7 FE,
yep,
or Fan Edition, they call it. It's got the fan favorite features from the Tab S7 series at a more affordable price. It's got a 12.4-inch full HD touchscreen display. You know that's perfect for watching content. And the S Pen is included. For those not familiar, the S Pen is the device that Samsung has that you can write and draw right on the tablet. So that is great for maximizing productivity and creativity. And it's got optional 5G connectivity, so you can multitask from anywhere. And this is a really cool feature I like. It's the front-facing camera automatically keeps you in the frame. So if you're video chatting with friends, you move around, that camera's going to follow you. So very cool. For the laptop, I really like the Samsung Galaxy Book. You know, it's got just that right blend of power and performance. It's thin, it's light, it's running Windows 11, the latest home operating system, and it has the most stunning 15.6-inch full HD touchscreen display. I mean, it's huge. And it's got Dolby Atmos surround sound technology. So your videos they're just going to look and sound amazing.
You know, for years, Andrew, we've called many of these laptops that are out there desktop replacements. And it seems like every year we just keep moving closer and closer to that. Are we even more closer now?
You know, it's funny you say that because I have a laptop that I use my portable Bluetooth keyboard, and I have a 27-inch monitor that I attach. You know, I turn it into a desktop.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tried this new Samsung Galaxy Book with that 15.6-inch screen and this full keyboard, I was like, you know, this might be the one that I could use without all the other accoutrements.
Yeah.
So maybe.
You know, and that's great for, you know, for those of us that are using these in a work environment as well as a, you know, kind of a fun environment. You get a lot of fun with these because the camera is going to be great for Zoom conversations that you may have to deal mm-hmm. with work, and especially with that framing capability where it kind of takes, you know, the camera doesn't move itself. It just knows the frame has a wider angle and can zoom in, and that's how it does that movement. It's pretty amazing technology.
It really is. I mean, you see that on a lot of the voice assistant devices with screens, but now you're seeing it in the tablet, and it's pretty cool.
That's going to be perfect for somebody, you know, maybe over the age of 13 and up. But what about the younger set? What are some of the things we're thinking about getting them some tech? You know, we could get them a handheld or something like that, but what do they want?
Gaming, right? So they're all about video games.
Yeah.
It's top of the list this holiday season. So you really can't go wrong with a new video game like Ratchet and Clank, Rift Apart. So you might be familiar. This is the much-loved PlayStation franchise. This is a new standalone chapter in that franchise. It's for gamers of all skill levels. It's designed exclusively for PS5. It features a compelling story with timeless themes that kids are used to, but really it's good for all ages. And then MLB The Show for sports fans.
Ooh.
It's got a range of difficulty settings. It's got tutorials to help new players like me or younger kids learn the game, although they don't need help, do they?
No.
You can play a casual pickup game. You can get that authentic MLB experience from just a variety of modes for all skill levels. And, you know, video games, that's what kids want. Now, for younger kids, I will say, younger kids learn through creative play, right? So you really want to make learning fun with Osmo.
Oh, yeah.
This combines tablet-based gameplay with hands-on learning. So many of my friends have said to me that they're using it to kind of enhance their kids' learning. So kids draw objects or they arrange game pieces and they see those actions come to life on the screen. Now, they've got a wide variety of age ranges here. The Little Genius Starter Kit engages preschoolers in educational games like phonics and letters. The Genius is for elementary ages. It's got subjects like math and reading. And then the Creative Starter Kit makes problem solving fun through drawing and puzzles. So lots of really great options for a lot of age ranges, and just it just makes learning fun.
We just featured their product on KMSB Fox 11 in my tech segment I did, and we picked up that starter kit. For those that don't know, you have a tablet and you put this little device on the camera, and it basically covers the work area in front of the kid. I mean, it gives them the ability to create, you know, words, letters, and everything. This is really a great learning tool, and I can't speak highly enough about Osmo. I picked up a couple for my grandkids because they're gonna absolutely love them.
And they are, because they've got, it comes for all age ranges. They even go higher in age ranges. So I agree, it's a great gift. Okay, lastly, people are getting more comfortable using health technology in the home. So if there is a sinus sufferer in your family, there's ClearUp by Tivic Health. This is an FDA-cleared device that uses low-level electrical stimulation, not drugs, to provide relief from sinus pain, sinus headache, and that congestion you get from allergies, colds, and the flu. So tis the season, and this is just a great way, without the use of drugs, to help relieve that sinus pain.
Oh, I love it. Great stuff, Andrea. Now, if our listeners want to get more information and they want to go online, maybe see some of this, is there a central place for this to go?
Sure. They can go for more information on all of these items. They can go to d6news.com/tech-for-the-family.
We will put that link up on our website. Andrea, it's really great to talk to you, and I look forward to hopefully talking to you again. Some great suggestions. We really love it. So hopefully happy holidays
to
you, and I hope you get what you want this year. I don't know what that is.
I hope so.
Yeah, do you want to get that new BMW you can now unlock with your Android device? Yeah.
Well, maybe that. A couple of laptops. Yeah.
That would be great. All right. Thank you once again. You have a great day.
Thank you.
So right before the break, we talked about a security issue. Security is a big deal in the world of the internet where everything's connected. The big one right now is, and I'm going to try and make it as easy for our viewers or listeners to understand, is, do you know anybody that plays Minecraft?
Oh, yeah.
Minecraft is a big open world game, but it's based on the coding structure of Java. Now, they've made some changes to it, and there's other versions of it that aren't Java-based, but there is an exploit that came to the public eye earlier this week called Log4j, which is a logging system within Java that logs errors and things like that. So if you had an issue, you could go and see. Apparently, there was an exploit that became public knowledge, and it allowed bad actors to use that and get in and access your system and take control of your computer.
Now, when you say bad actors, you're not talking about, like, you know, somebody who was in a B movie or anything like that. You're talking.
No,
I was going to say name, but I didn't want to offend anybody.
Yeah, right.
No, not bad threat actors, right?
Yes,
it's like it's people that are actively using exploits that are available to be malicious. The big thing is it's keeping up on top of your security updates, Windows updates, Java updates, those types of things. So if you know anybody that plays a lot of Minecraft, just tell them, hey, I heard about the security issue, you should update. More often than not, things like this are pushed automatically to users. But if people are running their own Minecraft servers or other servers that are using Java-related tools, it's important that you get that updated right away. This was a network-level security, we got emails and phone calls at midnight Sunday night or Friday night into Saturday, because they were jumping into our systems and starting to scan things, making sure we our vulnerabilities were already patched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you'll hear about it on the news.
It's not just Minecraft though. Like don't think this is just Minecraft.
It's anything running Java, right?
Yeah.
And how do you know your device is running Java? You don't, right? It's built in. The end user never really knows, right? So this is more for system admins and things like that. But it's just good to know. If you see a Java update pop up, you should probably update your Java, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there's a lot of systems that still run Java. They have certain apps that required it and they might need it. So this is a way to keep themselves safe is to make sure it's updated. So last week we talked about Roku and this, you know, the big battle was on Roku was going to disappear. Well, YouTube was going to disappear as one of the options for Roku. So it was like Tuesday night. It was going to disappear. What was it? Wednesday, Thursday or Wednesday? It was going to disappear.
It was going to, it was a very shortly after we recorded the last show where they said, here's the deadline. You can't get it.
Yeah.
My in-laws could not get it. And this was over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Well, I ended up, you know, remembering the show and I thought tomorrow's the day. So I went on, I brought the device in, I got it out of the packaging because I had still had it in the box and I hooked it up to the TV and I sure enough found YouTube as the option and I went through. I had no idea though, how many options are, because I've got a Fire Stick, I've got the TiVo Stream. I had no idea how many options of programming is available on the Roku devices.
Mm-hmm.
There are tons of channels, everything from classic cars to music to they've got technology, they've got sewing. So, you know, I was setting this up for Gloria's workshop. So I went through and got it all set up and everything. And wouldn't you know, the next day we get the notification that, well, the good news is Roku and Google hashed out their differences and they locked it down for a multi-year deal, not only YouTube, but YouTube TV came back as one of the options, which had been gone for a while.
I reached out to my in-laws and happy to report they are able to get the YouTube TV app now. So they don't have to use the workaround through the YouTube app and yada, yada, all that stuff. So they're happy because when they bought the TV, they had no idea. And they were kind of upset when they got home and they're like, hey, where's the YouTube TV app? How come I can't get YouTube TV? So I get a phone call saying, hey, we just bought a new TV. How come I don't have YouTube TV on it anymore? And I had to tell them, oh, well, Google and Roku are having a battle right now. And you just have to be mad about it and tweet at them or something, you know, and say, hey, give me my YouTube TV back.
A lot of it's funny because if you go into the stores now and you look, you're going to find the Amazon Fire Sticks really cheap. Even the 4K, Fire 4K is really inexpensive. And I think they were hoping, Amazon was probably hoping that Roku and Google would not work out in an agreement. But it was probably in Google's best interest to work out this deal with Roku. So that way, you know, people didn't go off and start buying the Amazon device, which is going to be a little different.
Yep.
And they would now, so hopefully between now and Christmas, people would go, no, the Roku device is a good one. And they've got so many options, 4K, they've got the recorder, they got the TVs. So it's kind of a good thing for them.
Well, yeah. I mean, it came at a good time because how many people are out buying TVs, right? I'm surprised surprised it didn't happen before Black Friday.
Yeah.
Because that's when my in-laws bought their TV, right? They bought a Black Friday deal and then they brought it home and couldn't get YouTube TV.
Yeah, that's when we had already started to hear before Black Friday that Google and Roku were fighting and you're going to probably lose the YouTube app, which a lot of people probably go, oh, no, because let's face it, a lot of us watch YouTube. I mean, we will go on to YouTube just to look up something or see the latest video.
Yeah.
You know, and now
I watch these all the time.
Yeah, there's always something. When you're looking on a, like a how-to, you always look up on YouTube to see, you know, oh, how do I fix this? Or how do I do this? You know, I've got to replace a garbage disposal on my vacation this week.
Yep.
Let's see if I have any fingers
left. Wait,
that's
a vacation for you?
Yeah.
That's what you do for vacation? You
go around and replace? I finally get chores done. It's all about. So I'm wondering, last week we were, and the week before, we were going to talk about a wish list for the holidays. Now, the next show is going to be airing on Christmas Day. So I thought, well, maybe before then, what we should go over maybe our list of things that we want for the holidays. What is your wish list? So I don't know if you put one together. I know you were going to do that, Justin. What would be on your wish list?
I just want world peace, man. Just want world peace. No, besides world peace, no. Gosh, I don't know. I mean, honestly, at this point in my life, and this is so funny because, like, I mean, if I want something tech related, I buy it myself.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Christmas, like, I'm asking for like a nice set of spatulas for the kitchen. I mean, seriously.
Well, there's always spatula city.
And some new measuring cups.
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, I do want a bidet.
Do you really?
Yeah. There's this cool thing. I thought I mentioned it on one of the past episodes, but it's called the Dude Wiper 3000.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like a bidet. It's a passive bidet. It doesn't require electricity or an extra, you know,
watering like hose. Yeah.
Yeah. It literally just is in line with your watering. But you know what? When I lived in Japan, having a bidet made your tushy feel so good.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
That's pretty good. I just go back in a backyard with a hose.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's pretty much, but maybe not quite as powerful.
Yeah.
Washer.
Sean, what is something you...
So, much like Justin, I feel like anybody that's into a tech field just, hey... I want to buy the same. They buy it themselves. Like,
yeah.
So Caitlin's all mad at me because I keep buying. She's like, stop. She told me to stop buying Wise stuff so she could buy something for me.
Well, see, my wife doesn't even know technology, so she just doesn't buy technology for me. Like, I have to tell her what I want for Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, I literally have to send her a wish list, and these are the things I want, and then she'll just buy off that wish list. So I already know what I'm going to get. I wish that she was, in a way, like, a little bit more insightful into what I like and then just surprise me with something. But
yeah,
but Sean, I mean you're kind of the same way.
But how's it gonna be too? Like, they see us buying this stuff, so yeah. You know, that we go out and we buy it, it's like, oh well, they got something else that and we don't tell them, oh, I'm gonna go out and spend $400 on a steering wheel. It's just if they're there, they see it.
Yeah, about that.
You know, it's like I have a wish list, but it's like we're trying not to spend money until after the baby comes.
Yeah.
In March, but
No. This is your last chance.
Your last hurrah. Money. Yeah.
This is your last hurrah, bro. I mean, seriously, I'm telling you right now.
He's got a good point.
This is your last hurrah. Do it now, or you're not going to do it. You're not going to be able to buy awesome Christmas gifts until the kid is after 18 years old, or you hit the lottery.
Yeah. Now's the time to get that 3090 that you want.
Honestly, Misa and I spent probably a total of $100 on each other.
Right.
Eric, we've probably spent about $500.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? I was lucky if I got a pair of moccasins.
Well, I mean, that was like the newest product on the market.
Oh,
back
I knew
then.
You were gonna go there. Yeah.
No, but I think the number one thing I put on my list was a RockPal's 300-watt portable power station, which is something I can use in the camper. So it's a solar generator, right?
Sure, it's got a family use to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a family use to it. But it's like the solar panel that I have for the camper can clip right into this and charge this device. It's a 78,000 milliamp hour solar generator.
Holy cow.
Wow.
But it outputs 300 watts. So that'd be enough to power most anything in a camper, obviously not the water heater or some of the things like that, but
that's pretty awesome though.
So they're rockpals.com. My buddy Steve that I go camping with quite often, he's got one. He's got the foldable solar panels. He just rolls out on the top of his car and charges the thing, and he a whole weekend.
Is it like a giant battery?
It's basically a giant battery. It's an inverter,
it,
right?
Rockpals.com?
Yeah, rockpals.com. They've got a ton of different solar generators and stuff. And
oh, wow.
Foldable solar panels and things like that. Just to be able to be a little bit more off the grid and not have to rely on power if we needed to. So
oh, I was kind of thinking you might be going for that new drone, which is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff from DJI.
Yeah, the drones are great. You know, I don't do as much creative content nowadays, you know, now that I'm into the engineering side of stuff. But I would probably get the Mavic Mini 2, right? I'd spend $800 on a new drone.
Yeah, they have the kit. I know they have the Mavic Mini 2 kit at Costco, and where they bundle it.
Yeah.
And it's actually, you know, it's pretty good savings.
I almost picked one up. I literally almost put one in the cart.
Yeah, if you're looking for a drone, I mean, Honestly, people always go, where do I go buy these? Your options are what? Best Buy or Costco?
I don't know if I would trust Justin with an RC vehicle. When I lived in San Diego, he had a, I don't know, a 4-foot wingspan plane.
Oh, that's right.
And I hit you with it. And if he flew it, it went up and did a loop and straight into the ground.
Yeah, well, I was just learning how to fly. If you remember, I also did have a 4x4 RC car that I raced around. And the very first time I raced that around, I ran it into a concrete pillar and broke the front chassis or the front whatever springs. So, yeah, I'm not really good with RC cars. But hey, I did own the Phantom 4 drone, and I never crashed it.
That's true. Yep.
You but still have remember it? When I... No, I sold that. But remember, Sean, when I was about to order it, I asked you, I was like, is this hard to fly? Because I have a history of not being able to do this kind of stuff. And you were like, no, man, these things fly themselves. It's totally fine. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
So. Yeah, so much for that.
No, I will straight up tell anybody, the DJI drones, from the Phantom 2 forward, they are dummy proof. They are very, very easy to learn how to fly.
Yeah, pretty close. Yeah. Unless you go out of range with it and then you freak out because it says lost range and you think you've lost your drone, but little do you know, it's coming right back home.
All right,
and it lands on itself.
We got to take another break. We come back. We'll share a website with you. We'll be wrapping up the show with Tech Talk Radio. Find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. We'll be right back.
And now back to Tech Talk Radio.
So for keeping into the holiday spirit, I came up with a website that I thought you guys might like, and it's, you know, very festive. If you guys want to take a look, you guys can do it there as well. If you're looking for a light show in your neighborhood, and, you know, there's always people who put up the, like, full-on Griswold, you know, shows. And
or even the automated ones that dance to music.
Yeah. Well, there is a website called ChristmasLightFinder.com.
Really?
So if you go to ChristmasLightFinder.com and search... you could even just go right to the URL, ChristmasLightFinder.com/search. You can actually input your zip code.
Where is it at? Oh, I spelled it wrong.
And then you could put your zip code in, and it will give you the most relevant light shows that are going on in your area. Now, I did it for my zip code, and it pulled down 4 local ones. But, you know, you could go, again, through different cities there. And these are ones that you could just drive around and look at and, you know, people doing them at their houses and the whole bit. And it's actually kind of cool. Did you pull
down? Yeah, I pulled it up. It's cool. It doesn't have the one that I thought it was going to have locally here. But there's a neighborhood about 5 or 6 miles from where I live. It's almost, I believe it's a prerequisite in their HOA that you have to do Christmas decorations.
Oh man, yeah.
Because
I've seen some
they
of
do a whole neighborhood. It's like a 2-mile loop that you pull in, you pay $5 for donation, and then you just drive through it. Every house is lit up.
That's cool.
And it's awesome.
My granddaughter is in North Carolina, and they actually drive down the street. It's like you're in a tunnel because they've lights going across the street. I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. ChristmasLightFinder.com. All right.
I want to go. There's one about 2 miles away from me.
Maybe go take pictures and we'll share them.
Yeah.
All right. That'd be cool. Well, that's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. Some great stuff on the show. Be sure to reach out to us. We're now on Odyssey. You can listen to us there on Spotify, iHeart, Amazon Music, anywhere you get yours. You can just tune in and give it a listen. Tell your friends about it as well. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin Lemmy. Have yourselves a great week.